Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to spend some time now talking with you about fall prevention in older adults. And we'll hear about some exercises maybe you can do to improve your balance. And a couple of guests for you. Susan Fricken is with us. She is a physical therapist at Yahara Therapy and co-founder of Ballroom Basics for Balance. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
With us as well, Jill Rankin. She's executive director at the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. It's an organization with a goal to help people thrive as they get older. And Jill Rankin, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
As we talk with our two guests, I hope you'll join in. What kinds of exercises or what are you doing to maintain your balance? How are you keeping strong as you age and maybe preventing falls? Number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Jill, September is Fall Prevention Awareness Month in Wisconsin. And I guess my first question is, why do we need a month devoted to preventing falls?
Right. That's a great question. So we know that falls have serious consequences as we age, and our risk goes up with age. So it affects our families. Falls affects our caregivers, people, loved ones who are helping care for us, all the way down to our communities and our systems that help take care of us. So we know that more than 1 in 4 older adults fall every year. The CDC tells us that, so we know that that's increasing as the age is increasing of our population, as well as fall risk. So we need to do a lot. We know that falls can result in minor injuries or even major injuries. It results in hospitalizations, nursing home stays, or even death. But even just talking about those minor injuries or falls that don't have injuries, it really does lead to like worry about falling in the future. It just has a ripple effect. So it can lead to a loss in confidence, which then it leads to depression, isolation, physical decline. But the bottom line is that falls just definitely hurt our independence. It hurts our health and our finances. But the good news is that while it's common and while it's increasing, they're not a normal part of aging. Falls are not normal. There's a lot of steps that we can take to reduce our risk of falls. So really our goal is to help empower people to access resources and information that can help reduce their risk of falls.
You know, Wisconsin leads the nation in a lot of things that I'm kind of proud of, but I'm not as proud of the fact that we lead the nation in the number of falls for people 65 and older. That's one I wish we did not lead in. Why is it the case here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so a really great question that we are continuing to work on. What we think is that Wisconsin does have a different and more robust reporting system than a lot of other states do. So that number may be skewed because we report our falls in a more complete fashion. So, but either way, nationally, falls are an issue. So whether or not it's Wisconsin, whether it's our ice, whether it's due to alcohol use or due to just in general physical decline, we know that it's a major issue and there's things that we can do about it. But here in Wisconsin, over 47,000 older adults went to the emergency department for a fall in 2022. And of that, about 10,000 people were hospitalized. So we definitely need to do something.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Susan, how does physical activity play a role in fall prevention, and why is it? And it's very important, I think, to have physical activity as we age.
Yes, and it's the same thing for us at all ages. It connects us to our body, so our joints are meant to move. We're built to move. And the more we're moving in different ways, different directions, the stronger we're going to be, the more our joints are going to be flexible. And also, when we move, we have to use our brains. And in my world, there's something we call dual tasking. It's doing two sort of moderately difficult things at the same time, usually one with your brain, one with your body. like dancing, for example, mm-hmm. one of my favorites. And it helps us to respond to our world. So, you know, if I'm doing the cha-cha sideways, for example, when I have to zip out of the way of something really quickly while I'm walking down the street, I'm going to be able to because I've practiced it. And so practicing moving helps us move better, basically. The other thing is, like Jill mentioned, we tend to get afraid. We lose our confidence. And then we forget that we can actually do things for ourselves. We can get up off the floor. We have what it takes. And if we practice just a little bit, it doesn't take a lot, then we know, okay, we're going to be okay. I'm going to be able to handle this, or I'm going to be able to come up with a different strategy for getting through the world and enjoying it still.
Yeah, all good points. Richard in Two Rivers has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how are you doing? I worked a lot more years than your guest speaker worked in fall prevention. It is very important to have physical ability to be able to step and get around something. But there's so many other variables that a lot of clinicians don't take into concern. And I'll give you an example. I had three patients that came in with broken hips. And I'm reading their charts. I'm trying to figure out why they fall in the middle of the night. And they fell because they prescribed them an over-the-counter medication to sleep because they weren't sleeping. That's a common thing amongst the elderly. They can't sleep. So they prescribe them that. And I have taken it myself, you know, to leave PM or whatever. And then you get up in the middle of the night and you're not steady. And I'm a healthy guy.
Comments on that, I guess either one of us. Susan, we'll start with you and then Jill.
Sure. That is true. That's absolutely true. Falls are multifactorial. So there are a lot of things that go into falls. And one of the things that's really important is if you're feeling off balance or you're falling, you should get screened by medical professionals like your primary care provider and geriatrician and also a physical therapist. We have a class that I teach and that Jill supervises overseas at Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging called Stepping On. And it includes exercises, but we also address all of these other factors. It's a whole person approach, and that's very true.
Yeah. And Jill?
Yeah, I will just address exactly what Susan said. We know that they're multifactorial. We know that medications play a big role in falls. So talking with your pharmacist and your healthcare team, your whole healthcare team, about all the medications that you're on, and not just medications, over-the-counter things that you're taking, supplements, all of those things can have interactions that can increase your risk for falls.
I can just speak one more time really briefly.
Sure, go ahead.
Each person has a different combination of factors. So it's really, really important that you know why you are having your issues. And yes, we can do classes and things and teach generally, but sometimes it's your foot strength. Sometimes it's your medication, plus it might be joint pain. So it's really important that people get screened.
Susan, you, as a physical therapist, what ongoing issues from falling do you see in your practice?
Broken bones, increased fear. A lot of times it feels like a cascade to people, and loss of independence for sure. And so, I mean, just those alone are enough. And, if we're afraid the way that we fall is more prone to make us hurt ourselves. We get stiff and scared and rigid. I teach a class called Parkour for Seniors as well. And what we do, and a colleague of mine teaches a class on how to fall safely. If we learn falls resiliency as well as falls prevention, when we trip, and you know, I think I trip just about every day, it's how you land that makes a difference to how well you're gonna get back up and get into it.
Yeah. Rebecca, Jill, did you have a comment as well?
Yeah, I would just add to that too, is because as we get older, our strength and our balance, we have to work harder at it. So with not only having that resiliency in the way that we fall and the way that we move, but also just making sure that we're challenging our bodies enough to be able to have that resiliency is also very important. Strength is a big component to balance.
Yeah, we should all push ourselves no matter what our age. So those little teeny tiny weights are fine to start with, but we need to bump them up.
Peg in Dodgeville emailed us. She started doing Pilates at age 56 after watching both her mom and a friend suffer broken limbs from falls. She knows that her core strength has improved, and she saved herself from falling injuries as a result. She recommends Pilates for older adults. Jill, what do you think?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Sign me up. Yes, yes.
And Susan, you're nodding vigorously.
Oh, yeah.
In agreement.
Vigorously. Yeah. Pilates. Yep. Pilates. And you don't have to do a giant class and go get machines. You can access Pilates in lots of different ways. They don't all have to be expensive or far away.
Rebecca emailed us wondering, do vibration plates such as those found at Planet Fitness type locations, do they help increase bone density? And could these be used to decrease the risk of broken bones if falls occur?
There is some research that shows that it might be helpful. I would say a multifactorial approach, again, for bone health is really important. From nutrition, vitamin D we know is really important, in calcium. And so making sure people know what their bone health status is one of the things. But it is one thing that we're looking at that could be helpful.
Susan Fricken, physical therapist and co-founder of Ballroom Basics for Balance, and Jill Rankin, executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging, our guest today. Maybe you've got an experience to share or a question to ask relating to falls, and I hope you'll join in. What's your experience been like? Number to call is 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. As we mentioned earlier, September is Fall Prevention Month here in Wisconsin, and a couple of guests talking with us today about fall prevention. Susan Fricken, physical therapist, co-founder of Ballroom Basics for Balance, and Jill Rankin, executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. And great to have both of them with us. And again, you can call in or shoot us an email. Email address talk@WPR.org or phone 800-642-1234. Barbara and Madison will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I've just recently moved here from another state, New York, and I'm continually surprised about the lack of quality handicapped accessibility out in the public. There are so many opportunities to catch your foot. I mean, you'll have a handicapped parking area, and the ramp, will you have to go around the car. It's not readily accessible. You usually have to go over a curb. And also, the ramps are not at the same gradual slope as I found in New York. There's a huge difference here. And so when I'm out going around, it does impede my mobility, in the sense of I use my walker, which I actually around the house don't even use a cane. But I'm so afraid when I'm out in public, it just surprises me that I went recently to a newly opened restaurant in New York. They would have never have gotten the permission to open because they had ramps, but there were ramps that no one could possibly use that was handicapped accessible. And on the streets, I don't find people in motorized vehicles that, you know, need a scooter or something, because you just can't use them out in the public in most places.
Barbara, thanks a lot. So she's talking about some physical barriers. Well, let's start with Jill. Jill?
Sure. Well, as we mentioned earlier, we do have a program called Stepping On that addresses many of these different factors that everyone is talking about. Very, very important. We do have part of that curriculum is addressing community safety and navigating our community safely. And a big piece of that is awareness. So it sounds like we've got some great awareness here, and as well as that resiliency that we keep talking about with our strength and our balance. So when we're encountering these challenges, then we can certainly navigate some of that with our resilience. And I will also say that on the other side of it, we do a lot of advocacy. So the Wisconsin Coalition for Fall Prevention really works a lot on advocacy issues. So this is really important to hear of people's experiences and definitely things that we work on a statewide level.
Yeah. And Susan, anything to add there?
Yeah, I just wanted to say Barbara sort of demonstrated something that's really important, which is she's making good strategic choices. So choosing to use her walker when she goes out so that she does prevent the fall. And keep complaining about it to the right people. That's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Skip and Milton, we'll go to you. Hi, Skip.
Hi. I just came in late on the show, but I got the general gist of it. And I want to make a plug for yoga. I started after I retired. It's been about 7 years now. I've been doing yoga. I was concerned about my knees. I wasn't even going to continue if it hurt my knees because I was having some knee issues. Ran too many marathons, I think. And after about 5 or 6 weeks of doing yoga, my knees were getting better. So I thought, wow, this is amazing. And now my knees are in better shape than they've been for at least 14 years, and I'm probably more flexible than I've been in 20 years, and I'm nearly 75 years old. So I'm just thrilled by the results of that. I walk 7 to 10 miles a day too, so that also helps. But just want to make a plug for yoga.
Skip, thanks. Susan, your comment there, you were getting excited when Skip was talking.
Oh, yeah. There's so many great things about yoga. And what I loved is that Chip had said his knees got better and he was going to quit. And the cool thing is, I mean, sometimes pain is something that's telling us to stop, but sometimes it means we need more. We need more strength. We need more flexibility. So I'm glad that he kept going. Yoga's got a lot to offer. And there's a lot of great research out of UW-Madison on yoga and falls as well.
Bobby and Rhinelander, we'll go to you. Hi, Bobby.
Hi there. Thanks so much for this program and the one last week about broken wrists, which I did falling while out hiking. My problem is being in too much of a hurry, and I can't do that anymore doing the hiking trails. So I need to realize that I need to slow down or there'll be a mistake. And the yoga comment fits right in. My question is about vision and how that plays a part. Our vision changes, and I feel like when I'm out, I don't have the right glasses on. Maybe you could address that. Thank you.
Jill, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, vision is a significant component to our risk factor for falls. We also know that when paired with hearing loss, then you have a kind of a double-edged sword there. So we do need to make sure that we are talking with our healthcare team about different vision changes, because just like strength and balance, our vision also changes as we get older at a faster rate than it did when we were younger. So yearly checkups with an ophthalmologist or whoever your healthcare team is that you choose to be able to do that is incredibly important.
Yeah. Bobby, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Martha in Menominee will give you a chance. Hi, Martha.
Yeah. Hi, Larry. Great show. When my father was getting on in years, his regular doctor was out of town. He saw a young geriatric intern who said the greatest thing. I think your audience would love to hear this. He said it was unacceptable for our culture to consider acceptable that old people fall down. And immediately we switched to this intern and things got better for my dad. But what I wanted to share with you is an experience I had. Don't wait women till you're 65 to get your bone density scan, because by then it might be too late with osteoporosis. So I wish I had gotten mine at 50. Now all the doctors can offer me is calcium supplements. What they really want to offer is a new drug that will actually replace bone loss, but there are a lot of risks. And again, I'm told, you know, at your age, you might not want those risks. So it's a double-edged sword. But I would suggest all women don't make the mistake I did and wait until you're 65 to get that bone density scan. Get it earlier so you can prevent anything that might be coming along. That's my call.
Thank you, Martha. Appreciate a comment on that. Well, Jill, we'll start with you and get both of you involved. But Jill, you first.
Yeah, I would love the lessons. And it's a lot about self-advocacy and a lot about communication with our healthcare team. So, you know, asking for those things and advocating for yourself is incredibly important.
Yeah. Susan?
It's true. I recently got my bone density checked because of my history. And my doctor told me that insurance doesn't often want to cover it before then. However, that's where your doctor comes in. They will help to advocate if they think that you need it. The other thing about bone health is we know that exercise, kind of the topic of our show today, especially strength training, resistance, pushing, pulling, lifting, can help stabilize bone loss. And in some cases, even a little indication there might be a little reverse, depending on our age and our history and the rest of our health. So exercise and bone health, they go hand in hand.
Sid in Janesville, your turn. Hi, Sid.
Hi. After falling 3 or 4 times in my late 70s and not hurting myself, when I changed 80, I told myself one thing. I got to learn to act my age. And when I act my age, I go downstairs a little slower. I use handrails. When I'm walking down a sidewalk, I'm watching for variations that I might trip on, and trying to stay alert to those because I can't handle them as easily if I hit them. And there's just a number of things I learned that it helped me get over my pride. Oh, I won't fall. I take 3 1-mile walks a day. I'm this good guy. Baloney. You got to act your age.
Okay. Sid, thank you. Well, do you agree with that, Jill?
I do. I think we got to put the work in. So it sounds like that's happening here, which is wonderful. There's so much that we can do. And if we're all empowered to be able to do that, then let's do that. Let's take control of our health.
And Susan?
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I wondered... acting your age and there's acting your age.
I responded to that too, and I loved that comment. And it means what it means to you. I mean, if you're feeling like, you know what, the best thing for me would be to just pay attention, slow down, you know, not stop moving. Stopping moving is bad, will make us less able, but paying attention, being aware, just sort of admitting, hey, I've changed. What's in my head and what's happening in my body are a little different. They're a little mismatched. But acting your age, you know, here's my favorite story about acting your age. I'm at Parkour Senior. We're on the playground. Mary Jo is trying to flip over the bar. And Mary Jo said, wait a minute, I'm 74. In my brain, I'm still 40, you know, so we've got to sort of match ourselves with where we are. And like Jill said, bring up, play more, do more things with our body so that our brain and our body match a little bit better so that when we're moving around, we're not falling down the stairs.
Chris in Minneapolis has something a little different, I think, here. Chris, hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Thanks. Well, this is a great show, and I love the work that you guys are doing, particularly with using ballroom dancing. That's wonderful to keep folks moving as they get older. I'm a figure skating coach in the Minneapolis area, and of course, we are the masters of falling down in that sport. And one of my colleagues is masterful at using a motorized spinner, And we use that to train the vestibular system of the athletes. So, for example, we train dizziness out of them. That way they can do, you know, 40 or 50 revolutions at over 4 revolutions a second, be put down and instantly regain balance and be able to catch an object, for example, things like that. Quite by accident, my colleague Sheila, who owns a company now called Vestibular Training Services, we found that with older folks, gently spinning them, and they're hanging in a, like a harness system so they cannot fall when they're on the motorized spinner. Research is currently underway on using a motorized spinner to train vestibular health, particularly as we know that that declines as folks get older. So I wanted to just ask if you guys were already aware of this stuff going on and get your take on it.
Oh, well, Chris, thank you so much for calling. Jill?
Yeah, that's new information as far as those tools go. So I'm going to have to look up and do some more research on it. But yeah, we do know that the vestibular system has slower reaction times as we get older, and that affects our balance.
That's the coolest thing. I wrote it down right away. Vision is 70% proprioception, or our sense of our bodies in space, is 20%, and vestibular is 10% of when they work well together. We have good balance and we have good response. And so just losing any little percentage of that is a big deal. Here in Madison, and there are other places around the Midwest, there are circus arts classes that here in Madison, my trapeze teacher is in her 70s and she trains women in their 80s. And that is a wonderful way to train your vestibular system also, but it's super important. And thanks so much for that phone call.
Yeah, appreciate it very much, Chris. We should get to ballroom basics for balance. I was thinking about growing up in my whole life, because my parents were really, really good ballroom dancers, the kind that other people would stop and watch them. And so we learned to love dancing and to dance from the time we were just little kids, and that's carried through our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're not necessarily training people how to rumba, perhaps, or samba.
Oh, sure.
or
oh, yeah.
Are you?
We are. Well, and the basics piece is sort of our little way of saying, okay, we can take this ballroom dance, and we also do other dances like disco or folk dance or line dance, but we do a lot of ballroom dancing because in ballroom dance, have you ever met a ballroom dancer or any dancer who's aged poorly if they keep dancing? No. And there's just so much in dance. But yes, we do rumba, we do samba, we do cha-cha, we do swing. Waltz is my absolute favorite for balance. There's so much in dance, including moving in all the different directions. That grace that I think you were talking about, Larry, where people just stopped and wanted to watch, that getting our brains and our bodies to move well together. We take it and we break it into the pieces that we need. And whoever happens to show up in class, we make it fit for everybody. We have options. You can Roomba this way, you Roomba that way. Sometimes we partner, sometimes we don't. But there's a lot of really great research more and more every day about dance and falls and balance. And there's something really special about rhythm and music as well as movement that really, really helps us figure out how to move well.
Got an email from John who wonders, what kinds of strength and balance exercises are effective in preventing falls?
You want me to take it, Jill?
Go ahead, Susan, yeah.
So the good news is it's not much. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. So in stepping on, in other programs that we know about, exercise classes and in different movements, it's a lot of strength. So we know that strength, it has to have strength. We have to be able to have a variety of movement, and so we have to practice moving in different ways. And also something called dual tasking, what we mentioned earlier, doing two things at once that are kind of difficult and challenging. And we have to practice balance while we're standing still or sitting still if we don't stand, and practice balance while we're moving. We call it static balance and dynamic balance. And so strength is a big one, especially the hips, especially the thighs and the feet and the ankles. And as mentioned earlier, core is really important too. So what if you snack on exercises, which is my favorite way to say it, because I love eating and I love snacks, but snacking on exercises, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, if you do that all day, all week, all month, that adds up and it makes a difference. We know that 3 hours a week is what it takes by research. It keeps being shown over and over. And you can, instead of sitting in your chair, Larry, one time you sit down, I dare you to do it three times for everyone. If everybody did three times for everyone, we would get a lot stronger in our legs and we would be on our way.
Mm. Well, if I sit down to watch TV, I've got a couple of weights next to the couch. So perfect. I can pick those up and watch TV. And they're just lightweights, but they...
And you also made a really good point. So you can probably stand up and sit down three times easily. But if you have weights next to you, the other really important thing about improving your balance is you have to progress it. So if you can sit and stand three times and that's good, that means maybe you should pick something up as well. So everybody's going to be a little different. I love it.
So all these little bites that you're talking about, now what are some more examples of little bites that we should be doing?
Yeah. So little bites that you should be doing is when you're standing waiting for anything, instead of complaining that, oh, I got to wait for the teapot or whatever, put your hands on the counter and lift your leg up and down to the side or behind you. Step sideways instead of just going forward. That will make your hips stronger. So we've got little mini squats that you can do. Up and down on your toes and then lifting your toes. There is a series of 8 exercises that if you do those every week, it's been shown that your balance will improve. You know, if strength is one of your major reasons for balance issues. So these just little things, changing the way that you're already doing something, not feeling like you have to pile on new things. Do new things if you want to, but I challenge you to walk sideways down the hallway instead of forward. How about that?
Well, I can do that well because I, you know, that's part of dancing too, you know,
right.
You're sideways,
right.
You don't want to be running into other dancers.
And even better, put on some music and move to music. That'll make it even better.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say music too. I mean, you have the music activates a part of our brain that isn't activated without it. So when you talk about that strength training plus the music, then you're getting a double benefit.
Yes.
Ann in Duluth, Minnesota has something for us. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I made a discovery a couple of years ago. Some winter boots called Ice Bugs, ICEBUGS, and they have like little spikes built into the bottom of them. You can use them indoors. You can walk in from outside, inside, and you won't slip on a slippery floor. You can use them to drive. I have not even slipped on ice in like 3 years because of these boots. They are incredible.
Ice Bugs. I actually have a pair of, they're not boots, but they're like more like tennis shoes, Ice Bugs, you cannot slip on them on ice. I've tried to slip with Ice Bugs and you can't slip with them. So a little ad for Ice Bugs. I wasn't paid for that, but Ann, thanks for calling. Any comment on that? Are you guys familiar with that? I mean, ice is a huge thing here in Wisconsin.
It is. But if you have good strength and balance, you should have that resiliency. But footwear is important, and that brings up a point. We know we need to have good support and grip on our shoes, on our footwear that we're wearing. There are things also called yak tracks, if anyone has heard of those, where you can just put it's a little device that you put on the bottom of your sole of your shoe, and that helps you so you don't slip on ice as well.
Yeah, it's a lot then cheaper, too, than ice bugs.
Yeah. I wrote that down. I'm going to follow up on that. Thank you.
All right. Our guest today, Susan Fricken, physical therapist and co-founder of Ballroom Basics for Balance, and Jill Rankin, executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging, talking about falls and preventing them. And you can join in, too. Hope you do. If you have an experience to share, maybe a question to ask. Number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at falls with our two guests today, Susan Frick, and physical therapist and co-founder of Ballroom Basics for Balance, and Jill Rankin, executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Questions or an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Let's take a question from emails. How do you know when to get the medical attention, when to get medical attention, and when you might tell people to just shake it off?
Well, I would say right away, because like we said before, we know from our statistics, even falls that don't have injuries attached to them are an indicator that there's something else going on that you can do something to prevent. So you can get a falls risk assessment from your healthcare provider, from a physical therapist, and Susan has more information on that. But it's, I would say right away, you start talking about it right away, because anytime you fall, you're going to have decreased confidence. You're going to have potentially increased fear that you're going to fall. And that then leads to more falls. We know that falls go from potentially no injury to all the way down to death. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. So the earlier, the better.
And Susan, to add to that.
Yeah, I agree. Part of it is, you know, it might seem irritating to have to go get checked out, but that one visit instead of 10 down the road would be much better. So making sure you didn't hurt yourself, and also maybe figuring out the why. There are really wonderful physical therapists who, a lot of them are neurologic PTs, so you can ask for a neuro PT. And these people specialize in falls screenings, so they can look over every possible reason, vestibular, you name it, reasons why you might have fallen, and then just help you work on it. So I'd recommend it.
Here's another email. Does using a standing desk at work improve balance and fall prevention? Jill, you're nodding yes.
Absolutely. I'll let Susan elaborate on that, but any movement and any strength that we can build.
Walking and standing alone do not prevent falls, however. Doing anything that strengthens, like Jill said, strengthens your legs more. So it can contribute for sure. Mm-hmm. Moving is the key. So if you're standing still, make sure you're moving around. Go up and down on your toes. Walk sideways while you're in the meeting that you don't have to listen that closely to. Stand up and sit down. So really, it's a lot of the movement. The push, the pull is really important.
I'm one of these antsy people anyway, so I'm up and down a lot just because I'm kind of antsy. John in Janesville, your turn. Hi, John.
Yes, just listening to your show today and some of your references to ballroom dance and physical abilities and agilities, you are so right on the money. We were in ballroom dance for a number of years, competed around the Midwest in it, and received coaching in the field. It's quite a, as you get a little bit older, it's quite a help in trying to develop your agilities, not falling. And I'm actually taking some classes right now from a physical trainer, and things like how to do leg strengthening as it goes away from you as you age, and how to fall and how to get up and how to stand up, and can you stand up without putting your hands on the floor? Can you actually stand up on your own accord? And what used to be no problem at 32, at 72 becomes a problem.
Thanks for calling, John. Susan, the comment from you first.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. So the dancing, the strength is a really big deal. And getting on the floor every day. I think, Larry, you had alluded earlier to something, but cultures around the world that sit on the floor, that squat, to do work more throughout their whole lives have fewer issues than we do. And it's because we are getting up and down. So my recommendation is take as many of the chairs away as possible. Don't let your kids get used to chairs. So when they are older, they can get up and down off the floor with grace and with ease. It's one of the things, if you're in the hospital, I'm a physical therapist contributing to an evaluation. And if you, we're not sure if you can get off the floor by yourself, we might gauge you as not independent. So it doesn't have to be pretty. We don't care if it's pretty. We just want you to be able to do it. And it gives you confidence that you can do it. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I have some physical therapists on the show who come by once a month, and we talk about all kinds of PT issues. And we did get into that a little bit. And both of them said they themselves will just sit down on the floor at least once a month and get up and just to okay, I'm pretty good at this yet, or whatever.
Even better, when you're in a meeting, sit on the floor. I want to challenge all the places with chairs to rethink this. See if we can sit down more, or little, at least short stools. I would like that. That would be better.
I watched Susan, I watched the video on your site and what website that's sort of showcasing your ballroom basics for balance. But one of the things I noted was it's not only helping your physically, but a lot of people in your classes remarked about the emotional. It changes how maybe how outgoing or just the human contact.
Yeah, it's true. And we had, you know, talked about social isolation, and I listened to the segment before as well, that when you were talking with the social work professor, and it, and what Jill said earlier is even if you're an introvert, even if you don't want to engage much, just being around other people, it does something to our brains. It does something to our spirit, and it does something to our desire to be in the world. And people have been surprised that that was the part that they ended up enjoying the most. We have a lot of intergenerational classes. We invite students to come and help us. And that's also a pretty big deal. Just being around. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, because it's a really big deal. And it's one of the health indicators around our country right now. People over 60, falls and social isolation are two of the biggest health challenges we've got.
And it sounded to me, or it looked to me, like your classes are pretty popular.
They're popular. Yeah, it's great. They're so fun. We've got multiple classes around Dane County. We've got some in Waukesha. We've had people sneak in from other states even and train. And there are wonderful things like what we're doing going on around the country. So if people are listening in from other places, there are similar programs, and we can definitely help you find them. People are doing amazing things that are fun for you.
Yeah, for sure. Dan in Onalaska, your turn. Hi, Dan.
Hi. One of the most valuable therapies for aerobics and for joint maintaining your joints and balance is called rebounding, which is just a little trampoline about 3 feet in diameter. And you just bob up and down on it, and you're using all of your stabilizer muscles to keep from falling down, and you're getting lymph fluid drained out, and you're not hurting your joints on this trampoline. But the G-force, the resistance, when you bounce up, is exercising every muscle in your body, every muscle, including the eyeball muscles and even your bladder muscles to help you with incontinence. It's the most fabulous exercise, and NASA said it's about 10 times more productive than jogging or any other form of aerobics, because you're using all of your stabilizer muscle, your core muscle. It's fantastic.
All right. Well, Susan, we'll go to you. Here, Dan is... is very enthusiastic about
you
rebounding.
You can hear his passion, and it's a great option. And the exercise that is correct is the one that makes sense to you and is fun. And rebounding is great. They make them with handles you can hold on to if at first you are a little worried about it, but it really is. It's everything he said. It's pretty great.
Jill, I want to go to mention your Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging website, too. It was fun for me to go on there, but you might talk about what's on there. I took your test, and I got everything correct. I got no for all of the questions you asked in one area.
Oh, good. Oh, that's so much fun. Yeah, so we have lots of resources. I think the one you're talking about is on our website, which is an assessment of how well we're aging. So how resilient are you and how is that? We also have a lot of resources specific to fall prevention. If you go to fallsfreewi.org, so fallsfree.org. And this is a brand new statewide initiative that we developed over the past couple years. And it has everything that we've been talking about today, it plus more when it comes to figuring out what your risk is for falls specifically. So you can take a falls risk assessment and then learn more about all the factors that can cause a fall, how to reduce your risk. One thing that we didn't touch on yet today that I want to highlight is our homes and the environments that we live in. Because most falls happen at home. We know this. The statistics tell us that. So we have a home safety challenge that you can go into and you can, it's like a little video game. It's so much fun. You can go and you can click on the different risk factors that you might see in a typical Wisconsin home. It'll tell you how to adjust that. Maybe it's increasing lighting or removing a trip hazard or things like that. So there's lots of really fun things that you can do to check out at fallsfreewisconsin.org.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff there. Patty wanted to mention the program in Amherst, Wisconsin, through the Portage County Aging and Disability Resource Center. Their program's called Strong Bodies. So they're making use of weights, balance, movement activities. And it was originally designed to prevent osteoporosis, I think, but it says it's an excellent program. And could be even accessed through the Wisconsin Public Television website, too. So, and very inexpensive, which is another good thing.
We have that. Yeah, we have that listed on our website as well. All of the different physical activity programs that Susan was talking about, that Strong Bodies is on there, Stepping On, our falls prevention program, they're all listed on there. So you can access that on our website, fallsfreewi.org. There's, like Susan said, find what you love to do because there's so much out there. There's so many resources out there and we are just excited to help. So
these are the kinds of, somebody else wondered, okay, so what specific classes or programs should I attend to decrease my fall risk?
It's the fun ones. It's the ones, so the things you have to have are, it has to have some strength component. You have to practice balance while you're still and while you're moving. You have to have some kind of a dual task challenge. And think about things like racket sports, pickleball, badminton, ping pong. They help you get stronger, stop and start, go different directions. It can be as simple as that. It could be lifting your leg to the side while you're waiting. You can do your own program. It can be dance. We can help you, and this website will lead you to what are the things that need to be in a class. And it's these little lists of things, strength, and then challenging yourself in different variety of movement. It doesn't take much, but make it fun. Don't make it feel like
it's
like
work.
Torture. Yeah. Make it play. There's plenty of playful things out there.
On that happy note, I thank you both for being with us today. It's been a pleasure, and we'll have links to your websites on our program page today. So thank you both. Susan Fricken, physical therapist, co-founder of Ballroom Basics for Balance. Jill Rankin is executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Great to have them with us today. I hope we can do this again. Team effort for the show is our producers are Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod, technical directors Jeff Robbins and Lee Rayburn, our executive director Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.